Just do some work on the sort of practical outworkings of what Tim gave us just then. There's bits of paper coming around if you want to take notes or kind of to do some work on during, I mean work on the talk, not physics or something. Do some work on during this session. But first of all, round your tables, here's a question. What is good about your small group or about church? So what is good about coming to RML IGG? What's good about coming to church? Okay? Does that make sense? What's good about it? Round your tables, make a big list. Thanks. Someone needs to write these down. Someone needs to write them down on the table. What's good about coming to your small group? What's good about coming to church? Okay, that's probably long enough. Pause there. Everyone got a list? Good. Okay, we're going to work through a couple of diagnostic tools to help us think about the first talk and what that works out in practice. So I need you to think of St. Helens and one other church that you know well. So maybe your church you're from at home, if you're at a church at home, that sort of thing. So everyone just thinking of two places? Have that? Okay, good. Now here is a diagram of a church. It's not quite as sophisticated as the fully working classic model that Tim had. We've got two circles. Okay, here we go. There's church. So this is quite a well-known way of thinking about a church. You have the core, and you have the fringe. Okay, does that make sense? So you have a group of people that the fringe might be people who are probably not Christian. They're certainly not very involved. They maybe come at Christmas and at Easter and a little bit more than that. They're definitely people you see in church. They're people who come to church, but they're not kind of the core of the church, the core of those who believe, who are kind of regular there every Sunday. So what I want you to do on your piece of paper, I want you to draw your two churches, okay, and kind of draw them to scale. Basically, in terms of the number of people who come, how many people are fringe, how many people are core. Does that make sense? And then I want you to, this doesn't make sense to Louis.
Are we doing skewed back to St. Helens? I don't know how many
that's great. Okay, very good point. So when we say St. Helens, think of people you know at St. Helens. So maybe you're at the 230 Mandarin congregation, but among the people you know, or maybe think particularly of the people from your university who come to St. Helens, that sort of thing, and then your church at home. So tiny fringe, big fringe, that's coming. And then once you're still not clear, what? No. It could be someone who, I'm a Christian, but I don't really see the point of coming to church, so I only go once or twice. But they definitely kind of, they're not core. Everyone who might come to church who isn't core. And then when you've done that, I want you to take five or six actual names. So maybe at St. Helens, definitely people from your university, say, and I want you to place them on which one they go in, fringe or core. Does that make sense? Okay? And try and get some example names in each box. Go. Yeah, maybe do it in pairs rather than a whole group because it'd take ages, wouldn't it? Or just draw yours and then tell people about it. Yeah, so everybody needs to do this. You can't do a group one because you're from different churches at home and you know different people at St. Helens. Everyone needs to draw one. Or two. Everyone needs to draw two. Not giving you very long. It's meant to be fairly straightforward. If you haven't started putting names on it, do that now. Should say with names, that's not being judgmental. It's not looking into the secret depths of people's hearts. It's just what do they do? What would they say if you ask them? Are you fringe or core? What would they say? What can you observe from watching them? And how often they come. It's all kind of all public information, not secret judging. Fringe or core. Okay, everyone got some names on there? Everyone got some names on there? No one's nodding. You got some names on there, Ian? Yeah, good. Okay. A healthy church basically needs, or you'd hope a healthy church would have both sorts of people. So I've drawn two possible churches on the diagram there. The one on the left has a tiny fringe, and that's a little bit problematic, isn't it? That means there's nobody there to kind of evangelize. It probably means that the church is a bit overcomfortable. Maybe it means the church isn't very welcoming, so visitors come in and the kind of everybody knows each other, so it's get out, you don't belong here. Maybe means there's no evangelism, no inviting to church going on. So ideally, it'd be interesting to know what you've done for St. Helens, but ideally you'd hope there's a whole load of fringe people coming along. But then the one on the right, that's not ideal either. Because there you've got lots to do, lots of kind of fringe people, lots of non-Christians or baby Christians, but nobody to do it. And in that situation, chances are there's kind of constant fights about what church should be for, because the fringe want it to be for, I don't know, the heritage of the building or social events or something like that. And there's very few people there thinking, I'm committed to Jesus and church being about him. Okay, so is that people kind of thought about those questions before? I think that's a fairly normal thing to think about in a church, you know, how many people are committed, that sort of thing. But I think this diagnostic isn't very detailed, not very detailed. So I want to do, that's our second diagnostic, I want to do something a bit more detailed. So come across over here. Someone over here was trying to get the most artistic person to draw the circle. Okay, it's just a circle. Don't hate me. So first, that's a bit like what we had before. So I'm calling this the, if you want to draw it, it's kind of, you know, very high quality artistic diagram, you want to draw it. This level, the sort of curious people. So they come along to church because they're curious about the Christian faith. They're looking in, they're curious. And the A-type people, I'm going to call the attendants. Okay, so curious and attendants. So that kind of, that's a bit like core and fringe, isn't it? So we've got kind of people who are definitely not Christians, but are kind of curious. We've got attenders. Then I'm going to draw another one. And those are going to be the members. Okay, so the difference between an attender and a member would be things like this. It's about how committed you are to the church. Do you see this as your church, or just a church that you sometimes go to? Do you see this as your home? Somebody who is in the M bracket, well, certainly if you're from a church that has a kind of formal membership structure, then you'd be a member. You'd have gone through whatever the step is, sign up to be a member. It would probably mean things like somebody who's an M rather than A would be serving in some way, coming along to help with something. They'd probably be giving their money, if they have any money. They'd be kind of, they'd say they belong here, that sort of thing. Okay, does that make sense? It's got curious, we've got attenders who go along, we've got members. And I guess that some people here will be, as we talk about that, they'll be thinking, oh, I wonder which one I am of those two. I wonder if I'm an attender or a member. Particularly maybe if you're a first year, and you've been coming to St. Helens for only about 6 months or even less than that. I wonder if I'm an attender or a member. But the fact that you've showed up today means I guess most of you would think of yourselves as M, think of yourselves as members. I remember, so this diagram I've nicked from someone called Philip Jensen, remember him doing this diagram and me kind of at this point feeling pretty smug. There you go, I'm in the inner circle, I'm a member, I'm an M, brilliant, I'm where I should be. But then he drew another circle. Then he drew another circle, and this is where I think this is a bit more detailed than that diagram. P there stands for partners. Okay, so he's kind of divided church up into the curious, the attenders, the members, and the partners. And let me explain what I think about the difference between a member and a partner is. It's potentially a slightly subtle distinction, because I think the members and the partners would be at all of the same meetings. If you were just kind of ticking boxes on the door, you'd see them both at the same thing. In fact, members might even go to more meetings than partners. But their behaviour at those meetings would be very different. So if you're asking whether you're a partner or not, here's the kind of test, I think. The essential test is, there's a girl who's joined our meeting, isn't that shocking? The essential test is, who is St. Helens? Okay, who is St. Helens? Or Bethel Baptist, or whatever the other churches you're doing. Who is St. Helens? Or whose ministry is this. So if you join in with something at St. Helens, are you helping out with their ministry, the ministry of the church, something that they do over there, it's something to do with them, or are you part of us? Is the ministry of St. Helens your ministry? That's the basic distinction, them or us. Is it your ministry? Is your ministry something that St. Helens does because you do it and you're part of St. Helens? Or is there your ministry over here, maybe on your campus, and St. Helens' ministry over there and they do it? Is RMLIGG, is that a place where you go to minister, or is that somewhere you go to be ministered to? Get the distinction? So a member would go to be ministered to, whereas a partner would go to do some ministry. Are you and your group leader doing ministry together, or is your group leader doing ministry and you're doing something else? Let me give you some examples, some illustrations to help understand this. So when Pete Winstone was a second-year student, he was at King's at the Strand. Well, not really at the Strand because he was a nurse, but kind of roughly at the Strand. Pete was, observably, as far as I could tell, was doing some evangelism. He would bring friends of his to events that we put on, that sort of thing. So I thought, okay, I want to. We were doing a review of our events at St. Helens. I thought, right, I want to find out what some students think. So I took Pete Winstone for a beer, and I asked him this question. I said, what could we do at St. Helens that would improve our evangelism, would make it more useful for you? And Pete went like that. Is it? Can you just do that? Yeah, basically, okay, there it is. Pete went totally blank face because it had never occurred to him that that was any of his business, basically. It never occurred to him that he might even need to have an opinion. So, you know, are the talks the right length? Do we stuff in a cafe? Is that helpful or not? Is it good to have it near your university? Is it good to have it here? And it wasn't that he wasn't involved and interested. He was definitely a member. He was actually definitely doing his own ministry, because he was doing some evangelism and bringing people along. But it was them, they do the evangelistic events, Pete does evangelism. Never occurred to him that actually we do evangelism. St. Helens is our ministry. I am St. Helens. Pete is St. Helens. You are St. Helens. And that my question was, you know, how can we do this better? Okay, does that make sense? So some of what we've been looking at with Tim are the Bible passages that do this, isn't it? You are the church. You are St. Helens. Means that any ministry you do is the ministry of St. Helens. And anything St. Helens does is your ministry or a ministry that you're in partnership with. I think that has implications in two directions. So it means if you're doing evangelism in your lecture or in your flat chatting to people about Jesus, that means St. Helens is doing ministry in your flat. Probably if you live at home quite a bit of the time, you're in two churches really. You're in church here, in church at home. So that means in your student flat in North London, Bethel Baptist from the middle of Wales is doing ministry in your flat because you are the church. St. Helens is doing ministry in your lecture. You involved in in leadership of your Christian union, St. Helens is doing that. It can't be otherwise because you are St. Helens. It's you. Or second way that makes a difference, every Tuesday and every Thursday, a group of people in pinstripe suits and ties who have kind of only just stopped wearing bowler hats and carrying umbrellas, they do a city lunchtime service here to reach business people around the offices around here. And that is your ministry. You are partners in that ministry, whether you ever go or not, because you're part of the church where there are people in pinstripe suits and nearly bowler hats, kind of mental bowler hats, who do ministry like that. Or another point in the week, there'd be some mothers coming along with very small children because they want people from the local council estates to come and bring their very small children so they can tell them the gospel. Those are your partners doing ministry. You have partners in pinstripe suits. You have partners in nappies. That's you. You are doing that ministry. So the question is, how can you think about your ministry to people in nappies? How can you think about your ministry to people in pinstripe suits? How can you pray for them and help them? Is it making sense, this kind of distinction, member or partner? Ephesians 4, how many ministers are there in this room? Very good, Luke is counting. I think it's 43. How many ministers in this room? 43 ministers. Ephesians 4, verse 11, verse 12. Yes, I teach the Bible, William teaches the Bible, and we do that to equip everybody for the work of ministry. So this is not the work of ministry. That's the work of ministry, what you do. This is the equipping. That is the ministry. We all do the ministry, not just able, but essential, Tim said. So theologically speaking, we should all be P. This is just a diagnostic exercise to work out whether we really are or not. Theologically speaking, we're all partners. We should all be on board with God's definition of our lives, God's definition of church. Again, Tim said Ephesians 1, not just a purpose, but the purpose. Or Ephesians 4, not just his purpose, but my purpose. So just look back at what you wrote down under what is good about RMLIGG, what is good about church, and just see whether that list places you in C, A, M, or P. Okay, just have a look at the kind of things you wrote down. See where you think it places you. Go. If you've only answered about Wednesday night, make sure you do Sunday as well. Keep going. Okay, stay in your groups. And what I want you to do now is go back to your five or six named individuals. So pick ones from your kind of university, if there are that many from your university that come to St. Helens, and then see if you can place them on the diagram. Okay, so are they C, A, M, or P? And ideally we'd have somebody in at least every, like one in each bracket. So that'd be ideal. But if you want to remember this, you either find the word PMAC, easy to remember, I don't know why you would, or the word camp, which is a bit easy to remember. Okay, so see if you can get five or six people laid out on the diagram. You're not judging them, you're just analysing them. Do that quite quickly, because we're going to do a bit more that'll, if you're not sure, we'll do a bit more that'll help. Okay, pause there. And I've got some diagnostic questions on the board I'm going to show you in just a second that are designed to focus on the AM boundary. Okay, so if you're trying to work out if someone is, they just attend the church or they're a member of the church, I reckon these are some questions to ask. I have written them up, but I'll read them just in case you're not very good at reading handwriting. You might ask, is this your church or is this just a church that you go to? That could be one question. You could ask, are you serving in some way or giving money in some way? Or have you considered it? Here's another one, a kind of student one. How bad does the work crisis need to be to stop you coming to church or RMLIGG? On the basis that a kind of an attender probably, you know, wouldn't take very much to stop them coming, whereas a member might think, no, this is, I belong. It would take, like the kind of floods. What do we just have, a kind of once every 100-year flood? You know, a once in how long work crisis would it take to prevent an attendance at church? And then fourth one, how many people from St. Helens would you see outside of Wednesday or Sunday in a normal week? Again, so I guess an attender thinks, churches, I go to church, and if there are some people there, that's nice. A member might think, this is my church family, maybe I'll bump into them, be in contact with them during the week. Does that make sense? So just round your tables, have a look at, and you might want to, yeah, again, particularly if you're trying to work out where you are or someone you know, do you reckon those questions push them A or M? Does that make sense? Okay, got about 4 or 5 minutes. Okay, pause there. And probably a good chance just to see if there's any questions so far or any feedback from those questions and where we think, have we got no members at all at St. Helens? Or do we think there's kind of people either side? So any questions on what we've said so far? Yeah, Ben.
We thought it was interesting when we know people actually who are definitely P's in their CU, but when it comes to church, barely A.
Yeah, interesting. Thank you. Everyone hear that? So no people who are kind of P in the CU, but at church are hardly A. Now, it's a slightly interesting one because the stage of life, a student's stage of life, is a particular one where you are split into two locations. Though actually, lots of the rest of life is like that as well. So actually what we're really saying is for the beginning bit of your life, you probably are only in one location, but maybe for the rest of your life, you'll be split and torn quite often. So there are people in offices around here. So take the big tower block of Aviva right behind St. Helens. They probably spend 70% of their waking week inside that building, which is depressing enough in itself. But that means the Christian Union at Aviva is a significant part of their Christian life. And the men's group at Little Snodgrove Village at the other end of the railway line is probably a reasonably small part of their life. But the issue in both places is, are they partners of their church at Aviva? So I think, yeah, so it's in your CU, are you Ben Cook, solo gospel man in the CU, or are you part of the church at work at King's College? That'd be the kind of question. And you're definitely, if CU is the slightly strange parachurch, not quite a church thing, which I think most CUs are really good at being clear that's what it is, and this is the actual New Testament church with elders and Bible teaching, that sort of thing, then it'd be weird to be only an A here and a P in the other one, wouldn't it? It'd be better to be P here and your P expresses itself in work through the CU. Yeah, no, good observation. Thank you. Other questions or observations? Yeah.
We were struggling to think about what might that mean if you're in London for a short time, so maybe a year or even just a semester abroad.
Yeah, thank you. It's interesting because some things on there, depending on your, would take a while to get going in. So you cannot be a Sunday school leader until you've been long enough, we know who you are, we've done a CRB check through the police. If you're from another country, I don't even know how that works and how we do that. And also, so yeah, but actually, speaking the truth in love to other people is something you can do the moment you step off the plane, isn't it? You just get off the plane, meet another Christian, start speaking the truth in love to them because you're a partner. Or it's something you could wait years. So I can think of people older than you who come to St. Helens, join the church as an A, attender, and basically they don't like big cities. So I can think of a few people who've been doing this for years. Basically, they're just waiting to live in the country because that's where they belong, that's where they're from. And so while there's no point getting involved in anything here or serving because they know they're going to move soon. And some of them are in their eighth year of doing that now. I think that's a shame. Nothing wrong with hating cities and wanting to go live in the country, but you're here. Are you an attender, a member, or a partner here? And actually, if you do a bit of P here for a month, that could be really useful, and it sets you up for doing it when you get back home, wherever you're going. Yes, I think don't wait. Yeah. Any other questions? Is that Andy a question, or is that... That's okay. No, it's good. Okay, cool. I've got now some diagnostic questions that focus on the M to P boundary, particularly. Okay. And I think we'll do. Egon. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Again, I think I want to step carefully in the spirit of the student supper and not cause offence. I think the Bible expects every Christian to be in ministry all of the time. And I think you want to respect the different ways that churches operate. I think there's lots of strengths of operating a strong membership model. I can think of a church, Mark Dever's church in America, until it was over a size of 700, I think. Every single member in the church he had an hour and a half with
What's your testimony? What do you believe? How are you going to serve? How are you going to give? And nobody could be a member without having had that hour and a half with him. I think there's huge advantages to that. But I think biblically, there's nothing like that in the Bible. There is no sense of that in the Bible. I think it's a great thing. It achieves lots of very good purposes. But if you kind of say, I cannot begin ministering until I've done that, just don't see that in the Bible. If you're a Christian and you're in the building, then you can do ministry. Or if you're in the Christian, if you're a Christian, you're with any other Christian or a non-Christian, you can do ministry. So just start and go through the membership thing at the same time. Yeah. Good. Okay. M to P, boundary questions. I think I'm going to give you these one at a time, give you a couple of minutes. I can write them down because the hope is over coffee break. This afternoon, once you've broken your leg playing football, as you're sitting in casualty, you know, you've got longer to chat about this. So first question is about your prep that you do before RML or IGG. Okay, so you're prepping for RML, they're not on there, prepping for RML, IGG, or you're praying. What do you do in your preparation and what do you pray for? And does that reveal that you're thinking member or partner? Okay, just round your tables, have a go at that one. Question about your prep and your prayer before Wednesday night. Yes, so I think this is now a question about you personally, probably. Yeah. Or somebody on the MP boundary. Yeah. Okay, let's throw some into the whole group. So answer to that question that you think land one side or the other of the MP boundary. Someone give us something that you said.
If you read enough to be able to answer the questions, or if you read enough to be able to really push conversation, do you know what I mean? Like in terms of the difference with the amount of time spent reading the passage.
So you're saying one of those is M, the other one is P?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've prepared enough that I will be able to answer a few questions. Member. Brilliant. Isn't that fantastic? To prepare like that, that's wonderful. You're going to get loads more out of Wednesday night. P, though, I'm going to prepare enough to really push the discussion on in a helpful direction that'll serve other people. P answer. Brilliant. Any other kind of M or P type answers?
Following directly from that, if you have prepared enough to answer all the questions, answering all the questions might land you an M, whereas sort of sitting back and answering when needed, P and encouraging other people.
Yeah, isn't that okay? Do everyone hear that? So, M, I'm going to make sure I show everyone how well I've prepared and I know everything. P is, I'm going to answer every time it would be helpful for the group to answer. I'm going to encourage other people to answer and by my answers enable other people to join in. Yeah, brilliant. Any other M or P? Yeah, Andy. Yeah. Do everyone hear that? So are you willing to give an answer you're not sure is right? Is that a particularly male problem, I wonder? I think it might. We're going to just in a second say are there any particularly male things. I think culturally we're getting less and less willing to be caught out or to look like we don't know the answer. Whereas, yeah, Bible study relies on wrong answers. That's how it works. That's what it is, basically. Wrong answers turning into right answers. Yes, yeah, so am I prepared to say what I think it might be and risk looking an idiot? Yeah, thank you. Any other M or P? What did I write down? So, yeah, am I reading the passage so that I can understand it better? That's fantastic, M. Or am I reading the passage and thinking, I wonder how this applies to the other people in my group so that I can go and minister to them? Go on, Ben. Yep. Yeah, I think it definitely changes the way you pray. And first of all, do you pray at all? Or is that the leader's job to pray for the study? But I think it changes. So if you think I'm in ministry to the other people in my group, and there's somebody in my group who is really worried about their exams, really worried. And as I'm looking at the passage this week, I notice this week not very much that might help them, but the week after, wow, that is really going to help them, isn't it? And so I'm preparing and I'm ready and I'm thinking, what I want to do when I go to RMLIGG, I want to sit somewhere so I can make sure I talk to them and pray with them that's really going to help them. Yeah, that's a kind of P-type thinking. This study is my ministry, and there is a leader, but it's my ministry. Who am I going to talk to? Yeah, does that make sense? That's the kind of difference in preparation. Yeah, go on.
If you have a study where it's only P's, is that similar to having a church where it's only core?
Yeah, that's right. So I think you wouldn't, in a sense, a church of only P's would be great, but what you then say to them all is, hang on, we're all P's. Why don't we all each go and get somebody else to join this group? Maybe we need to make this two groups so that we can then have a load of people only come to church occasionally and some non-Christians in the group. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, spot on. Yeah, are you thinking during the week, I wonder who and I can encourage to join this group so that I can do my... And again, that isn't me, Charlie, St. Helens would like bigger groups. That's us in our groups, in our ministry. How can I bring some people here to do my ministry to them? Yeah, or RMLIGG might not be the right place for that, so I'm going to start something else that will, because it's my ministry. I don't need anyone's permission to do that. I'm just going to get on with my ministry, because I am St. Helens. Do you kind of see how that makes a difference? Okay, here's another one. It's the end of the service on Sunday, okay, either in here at the Mandarin Congregation or in St. Helens on Sunday night. It's the end of the service. Who do you look for to go and talk to? Okay, M or P? As in, yeah, this is a diagnostic question to separate the M's from the P's. Who do you go and look for? Okay, so round your tables, who would you say? Okay, let's throw in a few things. Who do you look for? Or who would an M look for? Who would a P look for? Who would an M look for? Who would a P look for? Come on, Ben.
I was saying I tend to try and look for people who I know. I want to try and get more out of the sermon, so afterwards I'm always trying to go to people who I know will push me. What do you think? But ultimately, actually, I think maybe that's a selfish. Not selfish, but it's not a sort of outward.
Yeah. No, cool. Again, there's a really good... So isn't that a fantastic thing? Come to church, I don't want to talk about the weather, I don't want to talk about the sports, I want to get more out of the sermon so that I'll grow as a Christian. Fantastic, brilliant M answer. But actually the P answer is, I wonder how I can do that for other people. I wonder where I can be in ministry. This is the place I'm in ministry. I'm one of the ministers here. Yeah, brilliant. Any other similar M stroke P, who do you go and talk to? Yeah, Tim.
I've managed to figure out a time where the people that I spend time with sit. So I send stuff delivery over there, and if I notice someone quite close to me or next to me who's not been there for a while, I'll just automatically maybe chat to them and see how they're doing, also what they thought of the talk and
yeah,
things like that.
Brilliant. There's a great P thing. So rather than the people I like or know best or have the most fun conversations with, is there anyone here who's not been for a while? And I wonder if I can talk to them and help them. That's a great, yeah, excellent. Any other M stroke P?
My instinctive desire is to talk to the people I last spoke to most, actually. So it will often be my one-to-ones. Because I think, oh, that funny joke I forgot to say. Or I've been to a better gym person. I've been meaning to say that to you for the last 4 days. And often scream, but that kind of thinking, wanting to go and find my mates to talk about the thing I wanted to say for the last 5 days.
Yeah. Do you see what we're slightly saying is the I don't quite know how to draw it, but the M person focuses on the other people in their ring already, on the already M people, whereas the P person focuses on those kind of outside. Did anyone say they'd go and talk to someone who was new? They'd deliberately try and look for someone who was new. So Ryan did. But as in, you know, so I wonder who is new today so I can go and minister to them. That's a P question.
Kind of a half-hearted piece. You do it for a certain amount of time. or maybe, you know, you kind of ask to speak to someone who you sit next to, you kind of chat to them for a little bit, but then actually it gets kind of irritating and you want to kind of gravitate towards the people.
Excellent. Here's my next question. Andy, thank you very much. So here's my next question. If you meet a new student on Sunday night, what would the rest of your evening look like? And what would the rest of your year look like? M or P. Okay, go. Okay, for sake of time, let me give you a couple of different answers to that. So I think Andy gave us the M answer, didn't he? So all the sort of half-hearted P, I think that's quite a good way of putting it, is where you have a really wonderful chat with them for about 5 minutes. So I'm so glad you've come to this chat, and I really want you to feel welcomed. Really nice talking to you. Bye. And that's a fantastic, what would an attender do? A attender would just kind of sit next to them, nod at them, and they'd walk out separate ways at the end. So that's a fantastic use of 5 minutes. But a partner would think, okay, this is my ministry. This person has walked into my ministry. Here they are in my ministry of St. Helens. What shall I do with them? So it might be the rest of that evening sat with them, chatting to them. It might be introduce them to other people. If you meet someone new at St. Helens and she is 55 and a senior pathologist, it may be that you are not, you know, the perfect person to minister to them for the next 5 years. And you might want to find some of your other partners around the church to join you in that ministry. And then you pray for that woman every week, and you watch to see if other people are looking after her or not. It might mean for the rest of your year, I don't know, do you welcome them into your RML group, IGG group? Do you meet them beforehand on a Wednesday night? Do you meet them before the next Sunday? Sit with them, chat with them? Do you maybe meet during the week and catch them up on two talks in Titus that they've missed so that they can be in a good place for the fourth talk the next week? Are they at your birthday party 3 months later because you're still in touch with them? It's that sort of, what does this person need? How can I minister? And obviously, you can't do that for everyone, which is where ideally, if you've got a load of M's and P's sitting around you who you know, you're thinking, okay, I met 5 new people over the last 5 weeks. I'm full, but there's somebody who never talks to anyone except their best friends. You are going to meet this new person. And I'm going to make sure you keep chatting to them. Does that make sense? That's kind of P thinking. Last P diagnostic question, then I've got 2 more things to say. Just, again, round tables. Do you know how the first years from your university, you may be one of the first years from your university, do you know how they're doing with God at the moment? Okay, so just can you make a little list and say, roughly speaking, how are they doing at the moment? Growing, not growing, falling away, struggling? Do you know how they're doing? Go. Go. And then, what are you going to do about it? Whatever the answer is, what are you going to do about it? Okay, again, sorry, sake of time. Let's pause there. These are all things to keep talking about. That might be a really good one to keep talking about this afternoon with 5 or 6 names. How are they doing? What are we going to do? Just a couple of things to say. So one, if you don't know, that's interesting, isn't it? Because your God-given role is to be ministers every time you come into church or kind of in your whole life. Your God-given role is ministers. And you can minister to people that you don't know where they are spiritually. That's fine. You just hit them with some Bible verses until they're kind of ministered with. But it's a pretty blunt instrument. Whereas actually finding out how they're doing means you can help them more. So partly that just is talk about Christian things, ask them how they're doing. Partly it's things like pray with them, prayer triplets and things like that in your CU maybe, or after RML with people that you're in the group with. Ask them to pray for you and see if they know what that means, if they know how to do that. If not, great, I'll partner with you and encourage you in praying. It's that sort of thing. Find out. That's part of your responsibility as a minister. And in terms of what you're going to do about it, I could hear a few groups talking about who was going to do that. I think that's a really helpful question. So what are you going to do and who are you going to involve in that ministry? So where is he? Louis Palumbo is just there. Here's somebody we are paying extraordinarily to do ministry during the day with people. So he doesn't need to go out to work
He doesn't need to do a degree. He has time during the day to minister to people. But that doesn't make him the minister and you not the minister. That makes him a resource in your ministry. Okay, so that means that as you look at the five or six people you know really well at St. Helens and think, right, they need this, they need that, they need that, what you need to do is go and find Louis. Say, right, now, Louis, we're partners, aren't we? Yeah, you work for me because you work for the church, not me. He works for you. He works for the church. You give money to the church, maybe, so that he can do this work. So, right, Louis, here are these five people. What are we going to do about them? Is that, do you see how that's a mind shift from, oh, you know, I actually talked to someone tonight. Louis, I've done your job for you. Oh, isn't that nice of me? No. You're a partner with Louis. So the scary guy I used to lead a CU with called Rick Crichton, he was just kind of scarily organized on everything. So beginning of the year, the freshers would arrive. He'd make a list of the eight or nine freshers. There they are. He would go to the person who was me at the church once it was kind of settled who was going to which church. He'd go, right, okay, Vaughan, who's going to be read with from the church? Okay, right, yeah, this, right, and yeah, Ed, come on, you can do more than that, right, okay. You've got four of them, there's three left. Okay, then he'd come back to the CU, we'd chat, who's going to read with the other three? See how that's kind of using the resources. You don't have to do everything. That's not how partnership works. It's who is going to do this? How are we going to use the resources to get this done? Does that make sense? Good, okay, I want to say two last things, then it is coffee break. Something about being men in particular, since we have gone to all the effort of getting just men here and all the women in a different building apart from Isla, and she's not one yet, so she doesn't count, is I think there is potentially a particular male problem on this. I think there's partly a St. Helens problem in terms of we have lots and lots of Louis, which potentially kind of erects a barrier here. So you think, you know, the Louis are doing all the work. I don't need to be a partner, or I'll be a partner somewhere else. Okay, so I think that's a problem. We just need to think, actually, there is lots of work, and Louis couldn't possibly do it all. Basically, Louis and Charlie and the apprentices couldn't possibly do it all. There's lots to do. But I think there are some particular men things. I think men hold back, partly, as we said, don't like to give the wrong answer. I think men don't like to look vulnerable. Which is why we don't like talking about spiritual things. So if we have a conversation about sports, you just basically need to repeat things that you read in the papers about your sports team, don't you? So it's pretty easy. You're going to get it right because as long as you read two different papers as well, it's going to be quite interesting exchange of information. But actually, if it's how am I doing as a Christian, how are you doing as a Christian, that involves lots of things that men aren't supposed to do. I'm struggling, actually, or I love Jesus. Okay, that's not a very stereotypically manly thing to say, but it's going to involve things like that. I think being a competitive man, most men are competitive, not all, but most, I think that doesn't help because almost we've kind of, you immediately think, how can I be the best partner? And I think either you do that aggressively or you think, I might not win, so you don't start. Okay, that's why I'm not going to play football this afternoon. I'm not good enough at football to be the best at it, so best not to play football. Is that that's a slightly male, particularly thing I think to do. This is a ministry you've been given, the greater works to do. You don't need to be the best at it. We just need to start. Sometimes I think it's feminism that holds us back. I don't want to be a pushy man, so I'm going to hold back. Why is it? We said this in the Titus talks. In the church in general, in this country, the P circle is entirely populated with 75-year-old women. Why is that? Partly because men die earlier than women. That may be one reason. But you know, where are the 50-year-old men and the 40-year-old men? Where are the men at all? Why has partnership become a woman's business thing to do? That's a strange thing, isn't it? What is it about us as men? Is it just that men are lazy? I'm not sure it's that, because I think we can put huge amounts of focused energy into building model railways or something, you know, whatever it is that's your thing. Men are kind of going to do that. Why not put energy into this? Is it that we think spiritual talk is a girly thing to do? Okay, so men. Then last thing I want to say is that this diagram is not about where people are now. It's not about kind of fixing where you are. It's not about who's a good Christian. So a good Christian is someone who believes in Jesus, and Jesus has given them all of his righteousness. Anybody who believes in Jesus has all of God's righteousness. And actually, like you're saying, we want all of the four boxes populated all the time, because we want lots and lots of curious people around. We want lots and lots of attenders around. What matters is the direction of travel. So what matters is that the C's are moving in here, the A's are moving into M, and the M's are moving into P. That's what church is for. What we want, and actually, once P gets too big and too full, that's easy. We just start another church. Just send 50 P's away. Let's start all this again somewhere else. So what matters is, where are people moving? And St. Helens' aim for you, and again, by St. Helens, I mean all of the partners at St. Helens, the people who are praying about the student work at St. Helens, what they want is for you to move into the P box and to be there for the rest of your life. If I put it like this, we want you, everybody at St. Helens wants you to spend the rest of your life peeing all over the world, basically, okay? That's the goal, is that wherever you go, Singapore, Hong Kong, China, Africa, wherever your work, your life, your job takes you, that you will go as a pea. I've turned up in Bethel Baptist in the middle of Wales. I've never been to Wales before. Here are 10 Christians. I'm a pea. Let's get doing some ministry. So that's just what you'll be doing for the rest of your life. So questions, have you been moving? Are you moving in a direction towards the centre of that diagram of your time at St. Helens? Have the people in your kind of uni people, have they been moving? The five or six people on your list, wherever you've put them, what do they need to think about next? What needs to happen to them next? And there's no super special skill needed, no super special resource, kind of book of how to pee. Ephesians 4... James 5, Titus, you need the Bible. Just need to talk to people about the Bible, particularly as the Bible is opened by your group leader or by a preacher on Sunday. That equips you for this ministry. You need to do the ministry. Cool. We're going to stop there. Coffee break. We'll come back together at 10 to 1.